This is Radio Free Cybertron with your host, Brian Kilby, featuring Chris, Don, Rob, Diecast, John, and Melvar. For the latest Transformer news, reviews, and more, visit tformers.com.
This is Radio Free Cybertron, episode 519. I am Brian Kilby, and with me this week, I am joined by the headmaster himself, Don Ferguson. How's it going?
Everybody.
Perhaps you've heard of him.
Perhaps you've heard of him. There's Chris, a.k.a. XV. How's it going, Chris?
I have toys.
You do. We'll talk about that. Matt, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. I also have toys.
Rob, how are you doing?
I'm okay.
Do you have toys?
Do you have toys?
Not new toys.
You know, as long as you have toys, it is a toy podcast.
Yes.
Are we a toy podcast or are we like a cartoon podcast or what are we?
We're more of a toy podcast than a cartoon podcast just because there's more to talk about regularly with toys.
That's true.
And John, none of us watch the current cartoons hardly.
I need to get better at it. John, what do you think we are? What are we?
What do you mean? Like, I don't.
You know, so we've changed a lot over the years.
Like, what is this that we're doing right now?
Yeah, like in the past when we first started, we were primarily doing when it first started, just me, a cartoon podcast because they're only like
because we got 20 toys a year.
Yes,
yeah,
exactly.
And everybody watched the cartoon.
Yeah, everybody would watch like pirated versions of the cartoon, like from VHS tapes and stuff. That was because there was no YouTube. How did we watch videos? Like TFExtreme.com was one, but they're TF Archive. Didn't TF Archive have stuff?
Wasn't TF Archive really more of a sound archive back then?
And comics.
Yeah, we listened to MIDIs.
Yeah.
And MIDI. And oh my God, MIDIs.
Yeah. Hello. MIDIs are a wonderful lost art.
Yeah, we're going to talk a little more about that here in a couple of minutes. But before we do, let's talk about all the things going on. So please, if you have a Roku, why don't you add our channel to your Roku, tfradio.net/Roku, so you can watch us on your TV. It's pretty awesome. If you have an iPhone or an iPad, make sure that you get us on Apple Podcasts. Just load up the app, search for Radio Free Cybertron, subscribe, and while you're listening, review us. We would appreciate that. And of course, the RSC Insider newsletter that we send out. It's pretty awesome. So... also, just a tease, I am working on our new website. First new website in nearly 10 years. It's taken forever. I'm probably spending 30 hours a week on it over and above my job and everything else. So,
boy, 30 hours a week on the new website for 10 years. That's amazing.
Yeah. Well, it's like if the old platform were more flexible when it comes to exporting the content, it would be a lot less work. But it's exporting it in a certain format, and I'm having to do a lot of manual. When I say manual, it's not super manual, but it's still manual. Stripping of code and stuff, so a lot of fun. But Don, I wanted to mention this. You have some eBay auctions up, including one item of particular note for us. Why don't you tell us about it?
Well, as everyone knows, about 3 years ago, we lost our friend JD Church, and his widow Amanda sent me a lot of things that both Brian and I have been selling through the years. One of the last big pieces that I've got is JD's BotCon 2012 Invasion set. This is the set that came with Metal Hulk from the Thunderwing Classics mold. It came with Overlord from the GDO Megatron, the Bludgeon mold. It came with Shatterglass Tracks, which would be Road Rage, and Shatterglass Treadshot from the Jazz mold as well. And Ultra Magnus from Shatterglass with the Laser Optimus Prime Classics. I've got it up on eBay right now with free shipping. After all the fees and stuff, all the money goes to his widow. And I'm still trying to sell a lot of his stuff. So if you like a BotCon set, please check out the eBay auctions I have up at HMRC for EVR on eBay.
Awesome, Don. So, yeah, make sure if you wanted, if anybody out there was interested in getting some of the stuff that we had of JD's, this is one of the last items we have available.
Yeah, I've still got a lot of the Energon Cybertron Armada stuff. It's loose, and I'm still trying to piece together some of it because I had a lot of it pieced together, and then the box fell over into another box. and it all got mixed. So I don't know what goes. So I'm going back through the boxes trying to match missiles to characters and
TFU.info, Don.
Yes. Thank you. I am. I'm thanking them publicly because you guys have saved me from going crazier.
You got. I guess you can say you guys, since Anthony doesn't take all the photos. He does get help. And if you want to help TFU Info, there's a help page.
There is a whole handy help page, yeah.
Yeah, so we always want to plug that.
Because guns are pretty easy. Accessories are pretty easy.
Missiles suck.
It's
guns are especially easy in this country.
Yes, but it's the missiles that really, really suck.
So I had a bag of black missiles and a bag of red missiles, and that's as far as I ever got. I did just, yeah. Not fun. Okay. Let's see what else. Okay. Let's, anybody get anything this week? Remember, except for Matt, limited to as few items as possible. Since we're going to talk about that later on, There Goes My Money.
Well,
jealous
I got,
Chris.
I
got, Chris got sea spray.
Yes. Well, with a little help.
Yes, I got a tip from Don.
So, but I'm glad. Sometimes I don't feel like I pull my weight sometimes. So I was trying to help him out to get some reviews out because I think all of us wanted to know how this sea spray turned out.
I also, in the same purchase, got Squeaks, which I've only just started to mess with. Sea spray is not too bad. There's some things about it I wish were a little bit better, like a little bit of the posability. The hips seem needlessly limited in their range of movement outward. I've got a full review up for it for more details, but like there's the hips, and then the other thing that kind of bugs me is let me see if I can get the angle right here. So there's this white panel here, and that's the only thing covering the robot head in vehicle mode. And that's just kind of sad.
It's very G1, though. Not G1 Sea Spray, but G1 in general.
I mean, it is pretty G1 Sea Spray. I mean, it's basically G1 Sea Spray transformation with a few embellishments added to it. But, like, aesthetically, I like the way it turned out. You know, the vehicle modes update a little bit. It's a lot more like the Voyager's vehicle mode in looking more like an actual like transport hovercraft.
Wait, how big are the windows?
And well,
does
okay,
it imply
so like,
that it's the size of a space shuttle?
OK, so here's the problem with that. So like there's the big windows on the front there. Yeah. But then on the side here, you see that
door
white rectangle?
Door.
Yeah, that's a door. But then right behind it are pairs of like hatches molded in, which are twice the size.
So transformers are not to scale, usually even with themselves.
And this one seems to not be to scale internal to itself.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah, but what I did find out fun is if you have that Voyager Sea Spray or Octopunch or Deep Dive, this fits perfectly in the little cargo area in the back of that toy's vehicle mode. So you can, you know, put your hovercraft on your hovercraft.
Yeah. Plus, you found an Easter egg on there from the manufacturer that was pretty interesting.
I did, Don. Thank you. So while I was running through the normal process to do a photo gallery for T-Formers, which is also up right now, I found that there is sculpted on the inside of each forearm a little string of Cybertronian text in the ancient Autobot font that Jim Sorensen put together some years ago. And it is a reference to the episode Sea Change. He has the name of his girlfriend tattooed to his arms.
Which I think is awesome. I think it's awesome.
Yeah, that's phenomenal. I love that. I can't wait to get mine. I did order mine from Captured Prey when you retweeted that they had it in stock.
Captured Prey is one of the few places that was offering it without having to buy Cosmos also, and they had it for a good price, so that was definitely worth signal boosting.
And
I had
store credit that I wasn't aware of. So, that was great. I Dononomics that one.
Hey, that's some Dononomics.
Yeah.
But to be honest, can you really have too many Cosmoses?
No.
Honestly?
No.
I mean, okay, if it was a different mold, sure. That'd
or
be one
or
thing.
Different, maybe a different deco.
Because, like, well, it is a different deco slightly. The green on this Cosmos is lighter. They changed the color of the windows a little bit, too. I don't have it, but somebody did it side by side. See, my dream for a Titan's Return Cosmos was a new mold, and its Titan-Master interaction would be you would lower the saucer mode onto one, and it would grab it and pick it up for abduction action.
That's awesome.
If that had been a thing, I would totally have gotten Cosmos.
I'll have my Sea Spray tomorrow. Yeah, nice. That was quick. That was super quick. Yeah. Thank you, Orson. Who else got something? Matt.
Okay, so finally, 3 weeks later, my Walmart stocked some Titans Returns stuff.
Ooh, yeah. Wow.
So I picked up Cup and Topspin.
I'm so glad you finally got Cup. I tried so hard, Matt. I just could not find that damn Walgreens to save my life.
Oh, that was the worst.
I know. I was... Because Joe Lena, after the show was over and everything, we went out and he had all the Walgreens that I had been to during the course of my trip. But I've been to about, between my house and Joe and Atlanta, I've been to about 30 Walgreens. I couldn't remember which ones in Atlanta I had gone to and saw the extra cups. And so I felt real bad for Matt that I just could not remember which one had the extra cups. But I'm glad you got him.
Meanwhile, yeah, I'm glad he got Topspin.
Yeah, me too.
I was feeling guilty about that.
Mine's in my pile of loot still.
Yeah. Topspin is super, super nice. He is, I mean, I cannot pick a favorite between him and Trigger Happy.
You can't.
It can't be done.
It's like last week when I said, you know, Chris said there isn't a right answer to that because, and heck, when we get Twin Twist, it could be literally a three-way tie. And
a three-way tie for this wave. I'm joking.
Yeah, as far as Cup goes, I actually really like this.
It's not bad.
No, it's not. It's actually pretty much the cup I always wanted, you know, except it's a Headmaster.
Yeah.
So
it's bonus.
No, that's not a bonus. like the colors, I actually surprised me because the green is a lot more broken up than I was thinking it was. The only place that really bothers me is the arms. The arms are just from the shoulder down, just solid.
Yeah.
One solid color. Like if they had done the arms, if they had broken up the color on the arms a little bit and put a little paint on the head, I would be perfectly happy with the Hasbro version.
But I was expecting not to like Cup at all, and he became one of my favorites of the wave. Well, one of my favorites in general, you know, because he mass shifts so well from one mode to the other.
Well, and think about this too. Like Cup has the misfortune of being in the wave it's in with a lot of other really good, strong toys and decos. Cup basically just suffers for not being as interesting as the rest of the toys it ships with.
That's fair. In fact, actually, Matt, your cup looks cooler than mine just because I'm looking at it across a Skype screen, basically.
Well, it's also because his webcam can't process the color correctly, so it's actually more saturated than real thing.
Yeah, there you go. That's actually, yeah, that's true. Anybody else? Don, did you get something?
Yes, I got three things, but I'm saving two of them for later on.
And we will have, Diecast isn't here, but we will have There Goes Our Money this week, yeah. Or my money.
I got Braun.
Oh, someone's jealous. Money. Somebody's money.
I picked up three, and I got two for some friends, but I got kept one for me. So I watched Chris's review of him for the Braunception, if I can find my Braun. And I'm looking forward to tearing into him tonight or tomorrow.
Very cool. Very cool. Rob, you didn't get anything, right?
Not a thing.
I got one. Sorry, thing, Rob. I'll save it. John, I don't think is here right now. But
he got figure subscription stuff we established in the pre-show. So,
and the mystery figure will remain a mystery, but
until the news segment, I guess.
Yeah.
Or unless you were listening to pre-show.
But prepare to be slightly underwhelmed.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Let's see here. What else we got going on? What's next? Oh, okay. So this week in history. I don't even remember this. 2003. The final day to pre-order the eHobby exclusive Roadhauler and Sunstorm set.
So what don't you remember about this?
I don't remember that road. I don't remember that being a set. I didn't realize that was a set. So that is the, I guess the grapple repaint is Decepticon. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's grapple. It's like from the box art for a second, I thought it was Inferno. So he's basically painted as a Constructicon.
Well, it's also supposed to be a reference to the hauler vehicle character from the More Than Meets the Eye three-parter, who they call in and never appears again. And
yeah,
yeah, that was in one. That was in one scene and was not green.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. So that's certainly something. And
but Sunstorm's more the, you know, important thing that kind of persisted through the years.
Yeah, yeah.
It actually made the set desirable.
And that's That is interesting because usually these things have no, there's no nostalgia for anything like this or no, there's, you're laughing. So there's, but nobody cares about this stuff.
I'm not laughing at you. I'm not laughing at you. I'm laughing at the show notes.
Oh, I don't know how to answer that. So,
no, I know what you mean. Like a lot of this exclusive recolor stuff, some of it does not really take off. Some of it kind of just stays under the radar. Sunstorm was a really popular thing that happened and kind of kept its momentum. It got further references and repaints of other toys. You know, Sunstorm was kind of the breakout of this concept.
So so what we're laughing about is Diecast is in the show notes typing at us. He's like, bring me on to the show. And I'm like, how do I come up with an easy segue to bring Diecast onto the show? But I don't have an easy one, so I will have a hard one, and we'll just add Diecast now. And he's not even online. Okay.
Yeah, take RFC, add 1 cup Diecast, 1 cup Taobao, stir briskly, pour into muffin pan, and bake for 350 degrees.
Yeah. So we're in the middle of This Week in History, so... 2007, This Week in History, the theatrical trailer for Transformers is released online.
Actually, on this very day in 2007.
I don't even remember the trailer.
Yeah, I don't really either.
I'm certain it probably involved...
lens flares.
Lens flare. It probably involved
maybe
that...
Maybe a sunset.
I think it involved that, probably that sequence when Bumblebee changed from the old Camaro to the prototype, probably.
Yes. Probably.
And probably... I remember vaguely, like, a cut of the scene of Optimus Prime transforming in the alley. That was the first time we heard the Transformers noise mixed in.
Oh, yeah.
And I think it had, I think one of the scenes was Megan Fox leaning over the Bumblebee's car hood.
Almost
with the
certainly.
Car hood up.
Yeah. Well, you know, they had to get people into the theater.
Oh, and a good strong story wouldn't have done that.
No, well, they knew they possibly didn't have that, so...
And they were correct.
They were correct. They were correct.
It's still the first one is still the best to me. It's still the best one of the bunch. So
it probably is. But I think I am taking the day, assuming that I don't get to see it earlier. I am taking Wednesday the 21st off so that I can go see it and then fresh to talk about it.
That's the only reason I'm considering a Tuesday night showing.
Yeah, I want to try to do Tuesday if I can.
Because like it's coming out the night before. We're going to do a show anyway. It kind of makes sense for as many of us as possible to actually be able to talk about it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Have fun with that.
Yeah, I know. I know.
I still think I'm going to drive up and pick up Melvar and make him go.
It'd be awesome. I thought you were taking Don.
Well,
I live like 6 hours away from him.
Didn't last week, didn't you say that you were going to go pick him up and take him somewhere? Or
No.
I think there was a... Never mind.
No, I was saying that if I went to Northern Virginia... That's only like 2 or 3 hours from him, but it's like a 4.5 hour drive for me.
Yeah, so Virginia's a weird state.
Yeah, it would be...
Oh, yeah, that's when we were talking about the Cinebistro thing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah, see, that'd be worth making a drive for.
It would
but
be.
But I can't figure out what highway to take.
Sure you can't, Don.
It's not like you're going to Tulsa.
Don, actually, funny thing is, Don, you still use a Road Atlas, though, don't you?
I have one as a backup, yeah, because, you know, going through the mountains in Virginia... Like
yeah,
I know, Stewart,
definitely.
Yeah, you know, you can.
West Virginia,
yeah,
same way.
I was going someplace where I thought there was a credible chance of going through like extensive dead zones. I'd have a map, like a physical map, with me if I'd known. So, like most of the drives through Kentucky on the way to BotCon, I did not have any phone service and did not know that until I hit almost Elizabethtown, I think. And it was the same thing going back. Like when I got to Louisville, I had my phone work just fine, but it was that whole stretch from there to the Tennessee border, no phone service at all. And it's just like, well, I sure would have planned different for this.
Yeah.
So Matt, you live out in the country. Do you own a gun?
I own several.
He was in the Marines.
I just want Diecast to have that in mind if he decides to come and try to like force you to a Transformers movie.
He's a Marine. He could kill Diecast and all of us at the same time easily.
Yeah, that's why every time I've roomed with him, I've been nervous about, like, okay, if it's time to get up, do I actually try to wake him up, or do I just start, like, conspicuously making noise from a really far distance in the room?
Well, I was going to say, if there's ever a zombie apocalypse, I'll make sure I pick up Don, because he'll have, like, road atlases, and that'll pick up Matt, too.
No, I'll have a Massey that's even better.
I have to say, though, global positioning satellites wouldn't be impacted by a zombie apocalypse.
No, but the ability to charge batteries might be.
That's true. Funny enough, I'm actually the guest at a zombie-themed event this weekend. Yeah, I'm going in character.
Remember when this show used to be about Transformers?
I know. Hey, let's speaking of not about Transformers, let's jump to Bad Poets Corner. So this week in Bad Poets Corner, the podcast, the poem is called... God, this sucks. The poem is called Total Desolation. Okay. A void surrounds me. Vast emptiness all around. Not a soul for company. Nary a friend to be found. Off I see some kind of formation, and then another given time. This isn't total desolation. It's just Transformers Prime. Total desolation. There you go. Okay. Yeah, okay. Think about it.
Rob brought up a good point in the Skype chat. Where's your Happy Day character?
I know.
He's talking about Transformers Prime. He doesn't have a happy day for that.
Yeah, I know.
Also, I meant the zombie thing. You said you're going in character. Are you going in
character? Yes, I am going in happy day, Brian. That's the plan.
Fantastic.
And I'm not
absolutely wonderful.
And I am going. I'm going to be totally in character. Like, people will have no idea that I'm not that person. So that'll be pretty great. Okay.
Sure. You're not that person.
Yeah. Well, there you go. Okay. So this week. So this isn't really related to news so much. But we talked about this week, or last week. And yeah, man, I'm just sucking. I need more caffeine real quick. Hold on. Caffeine.
Do you not read my Twitter feed, Brian?
I don't look at Twitter caffeine. That often.
Huh?
So my intake day before yesterday was about 800 milligrams. Today, it's probably only like 400. So still well below the toxic level for a human.
What is the toxic level for a human on average?
So it depends on how quickly you consume it and everything.
Well, that's why I say on average. Like, what's the rule of thumb for this?
So like an overdose.
I forget what that article said.
I think an overdose is like 750, but that's not a toxic overdose. Something on the order of like 5 grams, I think, is about where the toxic level is.
I sent Brian an article about this once several years ago. I can't remember what it is, but it's something like ridiculous amount of caffeine you would have to intake that would be nearly impossible to do.
They
sell powdered caffeine, right?
Yes.
I don't need
and
that.
And a kid died this week from caffeine overdose.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm. Brian.
I have overdosed on caffeine to where I would be sick on my stomach and all that. And, you know,
is he bragging right now?
No, it's not fun. And that's just like an unhealthy amount. That's not like, obviously I'm still here. But I can't even imagine what the effects would be like of more than that, you know, like whatever gets between that and, you know, death. Caffeine's a hell of a drug.
Also, I think the title for this RFC should be the name of this podcast is Total Desolation.
Yes. Yes.
Because that's about how it's feeling right now.
Okay. So the item we're going to talk about this week. So I really like this because it helps give sort of context on where we come from in doing this. So we were talking about an item last week, but whatever it was, or the week before, people going crazy. It was about Earth Wars, I think. Where fans were just losing their minds because there were characters other than G1 characters in it. Because they, you know, had some unfounded expectation that Transformers just means G1. And Beast Wars or any, you know, Armada, anything like that, anything else is not Transformers. And, you know, we come from a perspective, most of us, have been Don even longer than me, the online fandom for over 20 years at this point. Don, you probably go back to the newsletter days, don't you?
Yeah, I mean, I go back to pretty much Alt Toys Transformers. I didn't get a lot of the newsletters. I think I got them from Lianne. I got hers.
Elliot.
That was really all I got at the time until Alt Toys Transformers became the thing.
So there's a perspective that we bring to things that other people may not. We've all been around for a long time. We've all seen a lot of changes. I used to be the person who would just blow up over stuff, you know, lose my cool. I mean, some people say I still do, But if I saw something I didn't like, I would get pissed off about it. But, you know, after 25 years of stuff, you sort of mellow out. I mean, hell, again, the first episode of this podcast debuted almost 18 years ago. And in that time, like when I first started doing this, Beast Machines, yeah, I guess Beast Machines had just started. It just debuted that year.
Yeah,
so Beast Wars had just ended. So when it comes to Transformers,
the Beast Wars were over and we were moving on.
Yes, true. So we were only three TV series into Transformers at that point. Since then, we've had another eight, something like that, just in the U.S. And when I say three series, I'm talking about U.S. series that ignores the Japanese, like Beast Wars series and the Japanese G1 stuff. So there's a context you got to bring to any kind of news item, a history that you have to account for. And it's interesting just seeing people go crazy over things like the G1 thing, the G1er stuff, because that really feels like an artifact of more than 20 years ago.
Well, and like one of the things, too, that I think gives it a different perspective is because back then it basically was, especially compared to now, famine for any kind of official content. So anything that you were given was this like godsend. It was this, you know, you grabbed onto it, you devoured it for every little last thing it had to give you, and then you wrote fanfic about it. But like as time went on and more stuff was up for offer, yeah, we could mellow out a little bit, and also our perspective from wanting to just accept and assimilate everything kind of made it like, oh, this is interesting. I kind of like this. This is, you know, I think that kind of gives us a little bit more readiness to accept things outside whatever the current norm is, because we've been through all of it already.
And I think that also explains in some instances why if I don't immediately jump on a Transformers series, I don't necessarily feel that bad about it because, oh, there's going to be another. Mm-hmm. Like I fully recognize.
In about 3 years, there will be another series.
Yeah.
But I can also see the other point of it as, you know, I mean, it's kind of been the norm. The G1er has been the norm even when you go into the classic series and you get into, I mean, Titans Return. There hasn't been a new character in Titans Return. And I guess even Combiner Wars had very few. I mean, there was Victorion, which was new. Brooke. There was
Alpha Bravo. You know,
Windblade.
Now, Alpha Bravo is always there.
Yeah,
Alpha Bravo.
Which we have. Oh, right. Yeah, I've seen that screenshot. That's right.
We've had very little new characters.
Yeah, that's true.
That weren't G1.
Well, I mean, see, that's kind of a thing too, because like I, as a longtime fan, feel kind of cheated that we don't really get new characters all that often anymore.
And the line is,
but at the same time, we are now getting reintroduced to a lot of new characters that, you know, the casual fan aren't really all that familiar with. I mean, Titans Return is digging deep into the character lore and into the roster for characters that haven't been updated in some cases since like 1987. So they're practically new characters.
And the thing for me, though, is that looking back through all these years, if they had not changed and had done new things, and as much as I love G2, it did not resurrect the line like they wanted. It took Beast Wars to do that. I mean, and I've said before, you can argue the point, but most people will agree if it was not for Beast Wars, we would not be at this level of popularity, I think, today, because that one led to the other, then everything built on top of that. And if it did, if all we had done was G1 all the time, the franchise would have died. I honestly believe it would have died, or not be in the state it is now. And having lived through this and seeing this stuff as it's come, versus being younger and looking back and not having the reference points that I would have, I'm glad this stuff changed. I may not have liked it like Beast Machines. I did not like Beast Machines, but it was a evolution of Beast Wars, for good or bad, and we needed these things to keep the stuff new and fresh and bring in new people.
So, Don, to your point, I'm trying to think of something that hasn't changed and has been around for a long time. The only thing I can really think of is like The Simpsons. And look at The Simpsons now. People compare new episodes to classic old episodes, because you can draw that immediate comparison because it's the same thing. But you can't, obviously it would not compare favorably, G1 wouldn't, to like Robots in Disguise. If you compare Robots in Disguise to the G1 cartoon, you can see that they are two drastically different things, and it makes it harder to have the assumption that it's just harder to draw a parallel between the two, so you can appreciate both of them separately instead of feeling cheated because the old one or the new one, in whatever case, is better than the other.
Yeah, one doesn't replace the other. I mean, if you and I have some friends in the collecting world that are that they collect just G1, or they collect just now Masterpiece. Some of y'all, I think, are going to just Masterpiece, pretty much it. You know, you're not doing the classics, or you sold your classics, whatever the case may be. And that's fine. But it's not the end-all and be-all of Transformers.
Yeah.
And everyone just needs to remember, we all have stuff we like, whether it's if someone likes it and you don't, that's fine. It doesn't diminish what you like at all.
But
so there's no need to worry about it.
Yeah, so, and we're not knocking people, maybe we are, but people who feel that way, like from that story last week, but we don't look at things in a context of, God, I want to say entitlement, but I don't want to say entitlement.
We don't no, look at entitlement context, is a very good word to use.
We don't look at it in the context of everything must be just one way. There's not room for somebody different interpretation.
But somebody can make the argument that we do, or some of us do, when it comes to like third-party stuff, that some of us feel that third-party sucks and, you know, it's not the and shouldn't exist, and others of us think, well, why don't we just have third-party and forget official?
Well,
so there's all of us, and then there's Diecast.
Diecast loves official, too.
Yeah,
I can hold any three of those opinions on third party at one time. Is the worst part. This is too G1. This is not G1 enough. You know, just whatever. 9 times out of 10, just whatever they're doing just does not strike me aesthetically. So
yeah,
maybe people are like that with movie toys. A lot of people don't like movie toys, and I'm enjoying the line, especially because we haven't had movie toys in what, 3 years.
Like,
I mean, that's not entirely true, because if you go to Ross and those places regularly, you could have seen Age of Extinction stuff as little as last month.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing that it all boils down to me. And from my parents, I inherited a low tolerance for BS. That's just the way I am. There's a lot more important things to worry about than if something is or isn't too much G1.
There you go.
Yeah.
But like, go ahead.
Just one thing that hadn't occurred to me about this last week, specifically about the Earth Wars thing, is that, yeah, I mean, right now, Generations, Titans Return, and all that is very focused on G1, but we have had characters from Beast Wars and Armada in Classics and Universe and all those things before. And IDW, the other, like, currently running narrative involving G1 or G1-like characters also mixes in a lot of these other things. There's really not any currently running narrative that G1 is involved in that is purely G1, so I don't know why the people playing that game would actually expect that to be the case.
Because they don't read the comics.
You're even getting your Beast Wars crap in my Masterpiece line right now. I mean,
I know Matt was kidding on that for the most part, but I'm going to say this. The G1 people, the G1 purists, again, I'm not knocking, I'm just saying, if you're a G1 fan, that's awesome. There's great stuff in there. But look at Masterpiece. You've gotten mostly G1 upgrades from day one, with the exceptions of Star Saber, Sideswipe G2. You know, that's kind of fringe for some people, I know. And when everyone got so angry that we were getting Optimus Primal and Cheetor in the Masterpiece line, it was like, you've got all this product so far.
When Exhaust came out in the Masterpiece line, when they basically invented a new character for Masterpiece.
Yeah.
Okay. There's that.
So this has gone a little bit sideways. So, sorry. No, it's okay. So the point isn't G1, because it's like we're bashing G1ers. That's not what it is. No. It's anybody or anything that tries to imply that Transformers is one thing. And whether that's G1, whether that's Beast Wars, if there was somebody who was like a Beast Wars zealot who refused to accept anything from Beast Wars, and that's fine if that's what you want. But if it's something that you get to where you are vocal and angry and belligerent when something comes out that isn't Beast Wars or isn't Energon or isn't Prime or isn't Car Robots or isn't 2010 or isn't, you know, whatever, that's when it gets a little frustrating because, you know, the genie's out of the bottle. There's stuff other than G1. There's stuff other than Beast Wars. Things have changed over time.
Just remember, the tagline says it all. More than meets the eye. Literally, in this case.
I want to meet this hypothetical Energon zealot just because I can't imagine that individual actually existing.
I was just thinking,
because it's someone who would never be happy about anything.
Yes.
I was just thinking, I'm going to be a Prime only guy, and then I probably won't have to buy any new toys anymore.
There you go. There you go. But so, yeah, generally speaking, we try to look at things in context of how things have evolved over time and, you know, even try to predict or react to the context that things will change in the future. And we have to be flexible enough to allow for where Transformers is going. Now, if it gets to the point where we don't like where it's going because directionally it doesn't make sense, they may focus too much on G1 with Generations. It's okay if you give it up, too. You don't have to like Transformers. You don't have to love Transformers. You don't have to collect Transformers.
You know, if it jumps the shark, it jumps the shark. There'll be something down the road where it jumps back.
If you don't like Generations, I mean, Transformers always has like three concurrent lines at least.
If you're not into Generations, go give Robots in Disguise a look because those Absolutely. Toys have gotten really good too.
In respect to Generations specifically, the thing that I miss about early Generations and about Universe was it trying to explore things that weren't like whatever was the primary line at the time. Be it Cybertron, be it, I guess Energon or Armada or Car Robots. Car Robots is a little early for that. They would try to take toys or care in Universe's case specifically anyway. They would try to take toys that didn't make their way over here and bring them out or bring something out in a new context. With Generations, we would try to do things. We had Beast Wars characters. We've had Armada characters. And we don't really have that anymore. Kind of makes me sad.
Maybe next line.
Yeah. Okay. So let's go ahead and jump to the news. Okay. So first item we have here. Final Transformers figure subscription service. Now arriving Toxitron, Counterpunch, and a mystery figure.
It's a spoiler.
Yeah.
A disappointing mystery figure.
Spoilers.
Well, I mean, I understand how people would be disappointed in what it is. I could find myself being kind of happy with it. In the context I've decided to assign to it.
I need some explanation.
Okay.
So well, you can read the article and find out what the spoiler is.
No, yeah. I see the spoiler. I just don't really.
Yeah, Funpub wanted it to remain a secret until people opened up the box. Like it's 1993.
Explanation.
You know, even in 93, I could go to a BBS and I could post something.
It's like they still believed in faxing or something.
Yeah, John,
opinions, Ryan Savage.
Yeah, John, just the facts, man. Just the facts.
Okay, so spoilers. It's Shattered Class Starscream, and
made from the Combiner Wars Air
Ghost,
Raid.
No, Ghost Starscream.
Skydive.
Yeah, the head's from Ghost Starscream.
Oh,
Skydive.
Really?
Yeah,
Skydive mold with the Unite Warriors Ghost Starscream.
That's
head.
Nice. Is the figure crap though?
Well, I think it's more a bad reception because it's just, you know, oh, look, another Shattered Glass semi-rerun for the final mystery bonus figure.
And also the fact that it's...
Another Starscream, how original.
Yeah, and it's single combiner limb with no affiliated characters to ever attach to anything.
Ah, well, see, anybody who has Unite Warriors Grand Galvatron now will have a replacement for when their Ghost Starscream shatters into a million pieces.
Ah, that's my Shattered Glass Starscream.
Yes.
But I will say this. the Shatterglass box set that came with the Starscream from the Cybertron mold, that Starscream still tends to go for a fair amount of money. If you wanted a Shatterglass Starscream in your collection and you were already a member, this would at least give you a chance to fill that slot in your Shatterglass collection without paying all that extra money trying to pick up that Starscream. So at least there's that.
If you ordered it.
Yeah.
I'd just rather had some neat off the wall character that you'll never get anywhere else instead of just another Starscream.
But it's Shattered Glass.
I mean, Matt, if you don't want yours.
Oh no, it's a Combiner Wars limb. I'll keep it forever.
Hey, for the record, Toxitron is excellent. For sure. Lots of great paint apps and very interesting Toxitron deco, and I continue to like Combiner Wars Optimus Prime's mold as everything but Optimus Prime. It's not a bad straight up Transformer when it's not Optimus Prime.
Yeah. Okay, so this is more important to me, honestly. The Legends photos of Kickback and Clowder, Brawn and Repugnus, and Targetmaster Trigger Happy. I really like Kickback. I'm probably in the minority though.
No, I like it.
Yeah.
Doesn't do anything for me.
I would have preferred this is going to be stupid, but if the wings had been solid silver instead of clear plastic lined with silver, I might have gone ahead and tried to get a copy of it. But since that's not the case, I'll just hang on to the one I have. That and an opaque yellow cockpit hatch would be my preferences for like the perfect Kickback. But I still think it's pretty nice.
Yeah, and I like Clowder.
I do like Clowder. I may end up picking that up just for that one. I'm not sure.
New faceplate?
It is
100% Ramhorn.
Oh, it is?
Okay. Yep.
I was kind of hoping we might get a double dealer in maybe like a Voyager or a leader class figure, since you know they're going with the Sky Shadow in the leader class. A double dealer kind of would have been nice to have too.
I was right though. I do like those Brawn colors way better than the Hasbro version.
I like it better. I don't know that I like it way better, but I like it. Definitely like it better.
I like Brawn, and I like who's the little target master or who's the little guy he comes with, the headmaster.
Repugnus.
I like him.
Repugnus with actual paint.
Oh, Repugnus. Yeah, he's cool. Well, I haven't found a Repugnus
paint,
around
not
here.
The Repugnus vehicle thing. So I mean, what's even the point?
I like the Brawn colors, so I'm getting it.
Gotcha. I mean, really, what's the point of Repugnus, though?
Oh, he comes with Brawn?
well, that's sort of like buying the Creo Serpentor and getting the free covered Terradrome. I mean, it's kind of the same thing there. But the Brawn is just a little bit lighter on the green. Is that really about it?
It's like an olive color instead of the like foresty green the Hasbro one is.
And just general paint apps, you know, his wheels and roll bar painted silver.
Oh, okay. So basically,
I mean,
paint.
You know, extra detail stuff is nice and all, but like, I don't need the cartoony base color enough to want to get this.
I do.
Yeah, that's fine.
Not compared to what else has been released in these pictures that I've already got pre-ordered.
Let's face it, we're all getting trigger happy. I mean, that's just...
I'm not.
No, hey, the toy, not any other context.
No, I pre-ordered a Target Master, and it's just coming with a bonus inferior trigger happy, because I actually think the Hasbro one looks better.
I kind of like the paint on the head on this one, just something about the copper color between the faceplate and the eyes is really nice.
He doesn't look nearly as much like Deadpool wearing an Optimus Prime helmet.
Yeah, which, you know, can be a plus or a minus depending, but I kind of like it.
Okay, so the Tau Doll cross Transformers, Optimus Prime and Bumblebee cross paths with mascot of Chinese online retailer Tau Bao. Mm-hmm. This is for you, Diecast.
Yeah. I saw this on Tau Bao yesterday.
I didn't realize Taobao.
Of course you did.
I didn't realize that Taobao had a mascot.
Neither did I until I looked it up for this story.
That is awesome.
I thought the mascot was like Diecast's empty wallet.
So is this an actual, what is this, a toy or what is?
Little collectible figurine things, yeah.
Are they exclusive to Taobao?
Mm.
That's like eBay, isn't it?
I'll put it this way. Anyone who can speak Chinese has a lot more information on these things than I am, because there's not a single slide here that says anything I can recognize except Taobao and Transformers.
Nice.
It's not like eBay. I would say it's more like Amazon without them directly selling anything.
So it's a marketplace. But
yeah, it's a marketplace.
Do you bid or do you buy?
You buy. You don't bid.
Oh, I thought you bid.
No.
Oh, yeah, it's much better then. Okay, yeah. So if you pick up any of these, let me know. You can be my agent.
I saw the advertisement. I didn't actually see the items. So that doesn't
for sale yet.
Yeah.
Oh, I forgot about this next item. Cybertronics, Hasbro registers a new Transformers-related trademark. I know we always get excited when there's a trademark, but it's probably for, like, Transformers-branded Band-Aids or something. But what could Cybertronics be?
I think that's going to be the electronics gimmick for Power of the Primes, that you turn something, you insert something, you cyber-key it. There's some activation feature which has lights and sounds and things like that, and it's called Cybertronics.
Here's the thing. If you look at the listing, which is quoted in the T-Formers article, the second category is buildable toy robots. So it sounds like a construction kind of thing.
Maybe so we're back to construct bots?
Creos.
Robotics! New version of robotics!
I was going to make a Musion Bind joke, but I would worry about what my lawyer has to say. So, yeah.
They keep saying they redid the Creo logo, and Creo is not dead. So maybe this could be for Creo.
Creo's not dead in China.
Creo's in my heart and will never be dead.
You know, because your heart is also in China, because Taobao has the lease on it now.
I love it. That's wonderful.
I think I prefer my theory of it being a new robotics. You know, that's just I like.
Well, that's buildable toy robots. So yeah.
Yeah, I think it could be for an action feature for either Power of the Primes or possibly whatever line succeeds Robots in Disguise. But that's my best guess based on entirely nothing.
I hope it's not Power of the Primes, because that would just going from Titan Masters to Light and Sound gimmick is makes me.
Something triggers that. So there could be a figure. So, maybe they've got a matrix.
So okay, my thought on this: if there was a light up gimmick or an electronics gimmick on a Power of the Prime toy, and they extended that to like the deluxe price point, imagine how small those deluxes would have to be so that they could hit their margins. They'd be like the size of Legends toys. It'd be awesome.
Oh, unless, no, the deluxes will just be $25 a piece.
Yeah. Unless they did something like the old Thundercats toys where, like, there's some type of external activator device that only comes with the larger figures.
That's kind of painful when you try to jam it into the other toy. That'd be great.
Yeah.
No, hopefully not. Okay.
Transformer Legends are on the loose. it doesn't roll off the tongue.
Okay, so there's a book, Lego Transformers Cool Projects, for your brick tips for kids. It certainly is a book. They look cool, the stuff the person made. So, but I'm assuming this is completely cause one. It's Lego.
I'm sure it's not licensed by Lego or Transformers or Hasbro. So,
it's interesting though, because there is a fairly large audience out there that's into doing like Lego Transformers crossover stuff. And apparently, there is a whole book based on this concept on Amazon.
And frankly, the stuff this person made looks better than the Creo kits for which these, they were designed to make them look like Transformers.
Yeah, and these actually appear to transform.
That's amazing.
Which the Creo kits didn't.
Pretty cool. The only thing that stops me from getting this is I don't want to have to track down all those pieces.
Yeah, that's the challenge.
Yeah.
Well, that's what Bricklink is for.
Oh, that's a nice Jetfire.
Yes. I also like that blaster.
You at least need the Jetfire diecast.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's calling to you. You know it is. You can't deny it.
And you can call him Kronos.
You can probably find, bulk Lego pieces on Taobao or something.
Probably.
Or fake
That's not smart.
Lego pieces.
Yeah. No, that'd be great.
Fake not Lego pieces.
Okay, Robots in Disguise.
I wonder about that.
Yeah, who knows?
Where do they actually manufacture Lego bricks?
They has to be somewhere in Asia like that, you would think.
I bet you that factory has the best security ever.
Let's see where Meg...
If only we knew someone who knew about Lego from the inside.
I know a couple people. I know, but I know at least two people that work for Lego. Yeah. So, interesting. Okay. So, what do we got going on here? Next item, the Rescue Bots Nightwatch Bumblebee stock photos and product listing.
The only thing I'm going to say on Brian is this. If they call anything Nightwatch and it's not the Nightwatch colors, that's false advertising.
Oh, no, but this is Nightwatch with a K.
Yeah. I don't care. It's still...
I don't hate it. I'm not 7 or 6 or whatever they're aiming this for. But I don't hate it. It's basically he's a dragon. And
it comes with two smaller dragons that turn into axes for him.
That's kind of awesome.
Uh-huh.
I wish when I was a kid that I had this crap.
You know, now I'm imagining mm-hmm. him saying, let me ask you a question.
Oh, God, Don.
Hey, the beast mode, so to speak, reminds me of Sir Stomps a lot from one of the VTech transforming dinosaur robot things.
Oh yeah,
I don't remember that.
Well, you probably just didn't pay attention to it when it was a thing.
Yeah, okay. Robots in disguise, Combiner Force, pardon me, Decepticon Crash, Combiner Drag Strip, and Wild Break in package image. May or may not get this depending on my mood when I see it in the store.
Sounds about right.
Yeah. It's like, oh, I don't have anything else that I'm blowing money on stupidly right now, so let me buy a Transformer.
But that's never true for you, Brian.
I know. Well, I'm always buying something that I don't need.
That's the joke, Brian.
I know. I'm just highlighting it. So,
thanks, Paladin.
It's not that I don't like these. It's just that, again, like a lot of people, I have to prioritize what I buy, except for Don. Don doesn't do that because I just don't have room for everything and I can't own every Transformer.
I don't either. That's why I'm a very lonely man with a cat.
I've got 3 cats, so I can't say anything.
But you have an absolutely wonderful wife who is the just awesomeness ever.
Thanks, Don. I'll tell her you said that. Robots in Disguise, Combiner Force, Team Packs, new stock photos of Ultra B and Galvatronus. Yeah.
Is it married, or do these look maybe a little
closer better? To the microphone, Don?
Sorry. Is it me, or do these look a little better than the earlier pictures, but not by much?
No, I don't think they look better. I kind of honestly was a little interested before, but actually seeing them in box, I think all of my interest has waned.
That's how I felt with the Crash Combiners.
I must say, I actually really like how they package them because it reminds me of Voltron right before they all connect together, and it just looks really cool that way. So as far as packaging goes, that is probably the coolest way they could have packaged these.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Now, I'm guessing these things can't scramble city on us.
No.
They might be able to swap left to right, like the arms, but otherwise, no.
Yeah, probably just the arms since, you know, the entire lower body on Ultra B is Grimlock.
I mean, there's the possibility that, like, you could get 3 sets and swap, you know, torso and legs between arms, between torsos. Like, all that's probably standardized enough that it could be interchangeable, but, like, I don't think you're going to get a whole lot of complexity out of it.
Now, once you transform them, Galvatronus, when you transform the limbs into robot mode, they don't look that bad. But I don't have... It makes me miss Power Core Combiners.
Yeah.
I love Power Core Combiners. Okay. Movie Block, new trailer, Transformers the Last Night, international trailer shows off Grimlock and gives us a closer look at Quintessa.
Extremely close.
Oh, God.
It's just a tight end on the face.
Oh, okay. But it didn't show her, like... getting onto a motorcycle or like leaning over and looking at a car.
No, that's not for the new Megan Fox that we get in this movie.
Well, I mean, you know, what if somebody likes CGI robots? You got to be fair.
That's true.
I didn't watch it. I haven't had a chance to watch it yet. What did everybody think?
I think it's about half new stuff.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. Turn X Bumblebee is definitely new.
Yeah, that's different.
not, this isn't specifically about this, but I am, I finally got to see a movie that in Dolby at the new Dolby spec at a theater near my house. Basically, it has a like a 4K laser projector. I cannot wait to see this movie on that screen.
Wow.
Because it will look amazing.
4K laser projector?
It was amazing.
Wow.
The thing, like, you know, you look up and you see the beam of light coming from the projector. There's no beam of light. It's so weird. But it's the sharpest picture I've ever seen on in a theater. So I saw the trailer, the newest regular domestic trailer, and it looked so good. It's, I mean, it's going to be a great looking movie. So
didn't Michael Bay say like the whole thing was shot with IMAX cameras this time?
Yep.
Then maybe I should go see an IMAX.
Well, I'm just saying, like, it's, you know, filmed in like huge resolution.
It's the same format. It's the it's the same format screen, except for the in Dolby, it's curved. But I don't know if the Dolby showing will use the IMAX process. Don't know if it can. I don't know enough, but it was beautiful, so I can't wait to see this. Bumblebee movie logo trademarked. It looks like the Charlotte Hornets logo, kinda.
Isn't it just the design from the air freshener from the first movie?
It's close to it.
No, it's definitely different.
But it's close, right? It's not.
It's
similar in concept.
Yeah, it's similar in concept. The only thing that kind of is throwing me off on it is that the antenna are the same and they're not. I mean, everything else is even from the left to the right, except
antenna. Asymmetrical.
Yeah, it's a symmetrical thing that's kind of bothering me. But other than that, I really I like it.
I don't hate it. What I like about it is that it doesn't have a big movie feel when you look at it. It's really simplistic and it looks. It doesn't look overproduced, but also, you know, there's no lens flare or anything yet, so who knows?
Yeah, when this is superimposed over a sunset, I mean, there's no telling.
Yeah.
Explosions all around.
Explosions
I just wish we could turn that antenna.
Yeah.
Well, there is such a thing as Photoshop, Diecast.
Mm-hmm. I did Photoshop it onto this week's album art, or this week's...
Well, did you turn the antenna?
No, I didn't.
Well, what are you even here for?
I know. Okay, Hasbro continues Bumblebee movie prep with a new trademark, B-Vision. B-Vision.
Yeah. Isn't B-Vision just when we go into the stores and see nothing but Bumblebees on the shelf? Isn't that what we already
have? Don, it's a compound eye effect. So maybe you're only seeing one Bumblebee, but your eye is capturing like 500 of them.
Well, that's even more depressing.
I know.
I heard Mighty Mugs are going to make a return. Maybe this is for all the Bumblebee Mighty Mugs that are going to be on the shelf.
So who knows?
The world
and everything in it. So Transformers Last Night Valvatron promotional figure up close photo.
Does this finally solve the question if the thing transforms or not?
It clearly, does not transform. It clearly doesn't. 5 point of action figure.
Okay.
Yeah, it can't possibly.
5 point of articulation action figures, what I'm trying to say.
But I need it. Is this like on display? It looks like it's on display at a...
Yeah, that's a display piece.
God, I need it.
That was in a Valvoline oil change center.
Look, and it actually comes in like a little clear plastic oil can.
Yeah, I need this in my life. I got to go get my oil changed, so I'll do that this weekend.
So someone was saying after this picture came out, like, their car doesn't even take 5 quarts of oil, so when they got an oil change, they didn't actually qualify for this promotion because it didn't use the required amount of oil.
Oh, God.
So, buyer beware.
I bought 5 quarts relatively early to qualify for the promotion, and I'm just keeping it and using it for my lawnmower.
Is it the right weight? Or does it matter? It's a lawnmower.
It's a lawnmower. I mean, 10W30 is 10W30, so...
Okay. I don't even know what my lawnmower takes.
I mean, it's diecast lawnmower. Who cares if he ruins it?
but I'll get my Transformers Valvatron, so... Yeah. That's the important part.
Yeah.
Okay,
This has got to be the most expensive Kenner-style action figure ever to be produced for what that oil costs.
Well, I think I paid around $25 for the oil. So it's not too bad.
It's still ridiculous. It's deluxe. It's a little more than deluxe price.
little bit more than deluxe price, but you still get the oil. So
for an Action Master oil can,
I've spent more than that for an Action Master. So
you know, it's not even as good as an Action Master because Action Masters have knees.
Hey, I'm
and transformable partners.
I'm glad it doesn't transform, because if it transformed, I'd want to take it out of the package, and it doesn't look like you can reseal that.
Probably not. You probably need to open it with a razor blade anyway, too.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So it'll never be open.
It doesn't look like it's worth taking out the package, so I guess we're all good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Masterpiece Barricade and other Transformers The Last Night reveals, thanks to Amazon Spain, we have new info on Transformers The Last Night figures.
Basically what this is just Amazon listings that are confirming stuff we already either inferred or suspected to exist, like the movie Masterpiece Barricade. As far as I know, there are no pictures with any of the product listings yet.
And I'm assuming that would be the early Barricade and not the current deluxe Barricade that we
probably
got.
Probably first movie Barricade.
Yeah.
Just going by the other two figures.
Oh, hey, according to our buddy Sam Green, who's in the chat, actually, let's jump to this. Amazon has the Creo Transformers Cybertron Class of 85 30-figure yearbook set for $47. It's not bad. So, actually, yeah, why don't you go to Amazon and buy that, tfradio.net/Amazon. Thanks, Sam, for finding that.
All right, I'll go right now.
Rob, isn't that one of the ones you ended up with?
Yes, I did.
I like it.
It's not bad at all.
I have the Class of 84 and that set. And they're both great.
And there's no 86 set, so I mean, there's
it's a
only
shame. I would love to have an 86 set.
Yeah, I wish they'd kept going with those.
Yeah, well,
there's always a San Diego still an exclusive or HasCon.
It's possible,
maybe.
So one thing, mentioning Amazon, I did set this link up this week because Kindle and Comixology are now blended. You can actually get your Kindle comics and read them in Comixology, which is pretty awesome. So if you want to get your Transformers comics or any comic, go to tfradio.net/comics, and it actually takes you to the IDW storefront at Amazon. And you can get new, like week of, releases for Transformers comics or any comic, but specifically I'm linking to Transformers. And so if you buy your Transformers comics through that link, it helps us out, and we would appreciate that. Of course, you can get anything there too. Toilet paper, toothpaste, OLED, 80-inch, 4K TV.
Sky Shadow.
Yeah, Sky Shadow. But seriously, if you're going to make a purchase on Amazon anytime soon, especially like anything, but if you're going to get like a computer, if you're sending your kid back to school here, in a couple months, because, you know, we're right now approaching summer vacation, and that goes quick. Anything like that, think of us, tfradio.net/Amazon. It would really help us out and helps pay for everything.
I know the parents involved would agree that it goes quick, Brian.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. tfradio.net/Amazon. Seriously, though, it really does help out, and we really could use your help. So please use the link. Third-party news. So,
well, Brian, I think you skipped over the Target Wave 2 found.
I did, didn't I? So, third-party news. Unique Toys. So, early on, or in pre-show, or actually at the beginning of the show, we were talking about like what we are and what we're not. And in the chat, our pal Ashaman55 had mentioned that, you know, it's like, well, you're the Hasbro Transformers podcast, and I will totally own that. I like that, because he said that, you know, we haven't talked much about third party. There hasn't been a lot of third party stuff to talk about lately, not anything worth talking about,
really hasn't.
So it's nice to actually see a couple of items in here, and we'll get back
one
to
one very discussable item this week and one that's just kind of interesting.
Yeah, so we have the Unique Toys got Ragnarps in Archimode and Gazranka figure images from the unofficial Bruticus set.
Which unofficial Bruticus set?
Yeah, exactly.
Unique Toys?
Yeah.
No, I'm just...
Unique Toys, because it's so unique to do a Bruticus.
Yeah, good point.
I don't know how I feel about these.
Brawl, oh, I know how I feel about these.
Brawl looks okay.
Yeah,
Swindle looks terrible.
Swindle looks off.
That is the worst third-party swindle I have ever
seen.
It's
the worst swindle I've
in
ever
my
seen.
Life. It's the worst. I'm sorry. I mean, I've got Warbitron. I've got the Fans Project upgrade swindle. I got all the Bruticus's sisters. And I'm sorry. This swindle is absolutely horrendous.
It's horrendous.
And I'm the Bruticus fanboy. And
from the
brawl,
you know, it seems almost like they put more effort into the back of swindle than they did the front. Plus, from behind, he looks okay.
Well, isn't okay. that the side you would see in Bruticus mode?
Depends on how you do it.
Yeah. Okay, John just raised a good point in the chat. It looks like if the Combaticons guest starred on GoBots.
Yes.
Yeah, that's it right there. And I've got several unique toys, and their quality has progressed through the years tremendously. But from a sculpting standpoint, God, this one sucks. I'm sorry. It's just, I would expect it. Matt, didn't you say this is something that they would have released like 5 years ago or something?
No, he said.
This looks like, to me, this looks like something that Fans Project would not have put out 8 years ago.
Yeah.
Although, in all fairness, like Fans Project could have just easily not put something out, even though they fully planned to, because they're Fans Project and they just, you know, take 8 years to release things.
That's yeah. true. So which company was it that went out of business because they were so terrible?
Impossible Toys.
Yeah. I'm sorry if anybody from Impossible Toys is listening. but this looks about like where they would be now if they were still making stuff. Maybe not quite there. It just looks bad.
I'm sorry, when it comes to the Combaticons, I expect a certain level of not crap, and Brawl is like barely above the line, and Swindle is like below the line,
I don't think they're that bad. I just think we've had a lot of Bruticuses come out, and if this were the first set we were ever seeing for the first, you know, this size
Swindle
Bruticus,
would still look like garbage.
I think we would be like, yeah, Swindle's a little off, but it's not bad.
I'm sorry.
And then you look at Vortex and Blastoff, and they look terrible as well.
I haven't seen those two yet. I only saw...
They were the first two we saw. Yeah. That's the Vortex that looks more like movie Blackout.
Well, I'm sorry, but Fans Project Munitioner looks better than this Swindle.
I mean, and like the Vortex thing...
Sorry, go ahead. Okay. Yeah, actually, the first time I looked at this, Munitioner was the first thing that popped into my head. That's where the Fans Project joke came from.
No, but like that Vortex looking like Blackout, like as a conscious design choice, as a reimagining of the character look and concept, I can get behind that. If it's done out of neglect, like Swindle seems to be, that's, you know, a fairly different matter.
Yeah. Okay, so next item. I love this one. I saw this earlier, and I just thought it was the coolest thing. Fans Hobby Fei Long, the unofficial double cross figure that we saw earlier, recolored as the Botcon Transmetal 3 Megatron. That is just so crazy.
Yeah, this looks like a concept render piece right now. When I saw this on Weibo, there was not any details about how or when it would be released. And I emailed to the mailing list earlier this week that Clear Toy World Cosmos, which, like, that's going to be some kind of raffle prize or something.
You can't call that a prize.
I wanted that Cosmos.
It's possible this...
no, the clear one.
Fei Long could be the same kind of thing. We'll just have to wait and see. It's probably going to be some kind of limited item, though, just because... How much interest could there be in this in a general sense within, you know, the already small third party audience window?
What I want you to do, I want you to go and find somebody in China who sells green, yellow, and red rock candy.
Hmm.
And just send a box of that to Don, because that's what's going to happen to a, you know, third party Cosmos made entirely out of clear plastic.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yes.
And this will be more useful because you can actually eat it afterward.
Exactly.
So in the chat, Marcus Gray said, third party just needs to get around to doing a puzzler. Yes, you are 100% right.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Well, knock on wood, I'm just going to say this. My clear Optimus Prime, the MPP-10 from Wai Zheng.
Right. No, I'm kidding, Don. I'm kidding.
If it does, I'm going to TF Radio Amazon your butt.
On camera.
I don't even know what that means, Don.
I love it, though. It's awesome.
Now, look, if one of Don's toys is going to spontaneously, like, cease to exist on air,
Kronos.
It has to be Kronos. There just has to be this spray of white shrapnel coming from the side of the screen as it, you know, explodes spontaneously.
Kronos, you just stand there and look good, and you're doing fine.
Yeah.
How did Massey not attack Kronos by now? I mean,
afraid of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Probably.
Massey knows fear.
Massey just looks at it and thinks it's not worth his time.
Massey's like, it's going to fall apart on top of me if I touch it.
Yeah. Okay, so let's see what we got going on next. Rob, what's on T-Formers this week?
Take a deep breath, Rob.
Yep, whole bunch of stuff. On Friday, Jack posted a bunch of his Optimus Primal-related Kabaya Candy toys and other smaller Transformers products. Some more fun rare crap out of his collection. He has
I love his collection.
Yeah, if I had like actual money, I think that's the kind of collection I'd just like to have, the weird, obscure, small things and knockoffs.
If I'm not wrong, I think Jack gave Ender a lucky draw Optimus Prime, just gave it to him.
Wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah.
But yeah, a good gallery there of 28 images, really nicely done, and some, like I said, some weird, interesting stuff. We have XB's article explaining that Crowbar was, in fact, the wrong translation for Clowder, because when I posted the original story, I hadn't bothered to look at the katakana, and yeah, that's Clowder.
I think at the time you posted it, we did not have access to the listing with the Japanese text.
You know, I think you're right. Also, we've got a 4K screen cap gallery for that new trailer that went up today. And XV has been especially busy. We've got his review of the Optimus Prime Turbo Changer. We've got my review of Last Night Premiere Deluxe Bumblebee. I'm pretty sure that's the only thing of mine on this list. XV has also reviewed Last Night Premiere Berserker. He reviewed Titans Return Legend Sea Spray. And, of course, there's the gallery and the Easter egg if you want to go take a look at those. And just today he posted two reviews of Legends Roadburn and Brawn.
Up next.
Nice squeaks.
All right.
I need squeaks.
Well, just be careful, Chris, and don't try to squeak that one out too fast. God. Take your time. And
yeah.
Bad done.
Shaka when the walls fell.
Oh, very nice. Okay. What else?
That's it.
That's it. Sweet.
Wasn't that enough?
It was a lot of stuff.
I know, right?
On the network this week.
Take a deep breath, Don.
Take a deep breath. You got it. On the network this week, Superhero Time presents that one episode of Star Trek, Devil's Due. This week, they watch the Next Generation episode where the Enterprise crew meets Rita Repulsa, because after 1,000 years, she's free and it's time to conquer Ventax 2. Plus, they have a quick conversation about Klingons and civilian jobs, which is pretty interesting. Take 4 Wrestling, episode number 31, Favorite Gimmick Matches. This week on Take 4 Wrestling, J.T. Hogg, Tom McClain, and Brian Kilby are back, and they're talking about some of the favorite gimmick matches. What work, what doesn't, what should come back, and what should go away? Brian, are Cybertron Planet Keys involved with this or not?
No.
Okay.
You could probably break somebody's skin with that, so I'm certain somebody in the indie match has probably pulled one out.
Plus, they have an extended chat about our gimmick of the week, The Undertaker.
Yes.
Being awesome, episode 103. You've got your Prime. I've got my Orange Crush. This week in Awesome, Rob talks Transformers Crush soda cans and movie theater merchandising for Transformers 5. Then Q&A wanting definitions on various licensed and totally not licensed terminology. A little bit of knowledge getting dropped down there.
Yeah.
Get the Skinny 57. Would Brian dress and drag to score free wings?
I didn't.
Don't ask.
I didn't.
This week on Get the Skinny, the new Twix donut at 7-Eleven. Oh, that sounds delicious.
Oh, God.
Our weekly...
Gingles sick.
Our weekly update on health and fitness. New Oreos, including waffles and syrup and cookies and cream. Isn't an Oreo already cookies and cream?
Yes.
Also on the show, free Mother's Day grub for mom at Hooters.
What?
That was where the wings came in to the conversation.
a quick chat about Icy Hot, and John breaks down on the burpee. All this and more on this week's Get the Skin.
How many burpees do you do?
What is a burpee?
Go ahead, Chris.
Download the show.
Okay, so your weekly update on health and fitness, new Oreos.
Hey.
And a Twix
donut. We cover it all.
Uh-huh.
On the next episode, it's going to be an awesome update. I'm very pleased with this week's results.
I mean, just like with the summary, I'm surprised neither of you talked about the new chicken stuff at Taco Bell.
I have yet to try that. Have you had it yet?
Yeah.
Is it good?
I want a Twix donut.
Mine was slightly not fresh because I had to drive it home, but it didn't taste bad. I want to try getting those chicken chips again and eat them immediately to see if they're a little bit better quality when they're fresh out of the fryer.
I have some calories left.
I had them for breakfast Monday after you talked about them. Okay. And because I have to go to breakfast at my lunch is like breakfast, and I can get to my local Taco Bell, and they were pretty good right out of the front, because literally it was like 9:30 and they had to make some for me, and they were really good.
Cool.
Okay.
All right, RPG Lessons Learned, Episode 2. If it's fun, do it. An examination of the Red Box.
And that's, movie rentals?
The Red Box.
The Red Box from 4th edition.
Okay. Unfortunately, here we are. On this episode of Lessons Learned, Brian and Dusty discuss their Red Box experience and the lessons learned. If something's not fun, don't do it.
Yes.
That's a good lesson in general in life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How was your weekend? Episode 4, Do You Like Dogs? On this episode of How Was Your Weekend, Wendy and Brian discuss dogs. Wendy talks about her time working as a veterinary technician, getting her degree in animal science, and being a pet sitter. Brian talks about how dog ownership has changed for him and having to adapt to modern expectations of dog parenthood. This week we are gaga over dogs, our extensions of the family, or children, or whatever you call them. Just keep them away from feral chickens.
Yes. that didn't come up. I didn't mention that.
Probably for the best.
Probably,
honestly.
Yeah.
There goes my money, episode 16. I didn't get anything cool this week, but I got broadside. On this episode of There Goes My Money. On this episode of There Goes My Money, we discussed Titan Return Wave 4 Deluxes, Titan Return Broadside, Diecast new KO Jetfire, and more. All that plus this week's pre-orders.
Diecast. And go ahead.
Yeah.
Okay, this week on RFC Reviews, I put up a review of the tiny turbo changers. Why would that not come out? Tiny turbo changers unbagging or blind bag opening, however you want to say it.
Did the codes work?
Yeah, if you can read them, because some of them aren't stamped as good as others, so... I did end up getting two of one character, and I thought I was going to get a Grimlock, so I don't have a Grimlock. But
I know about the stamp depth, though.
Yeah, and then the other thing I put up was Deluxe Squeaks, and he's really awesome. Yeah, I transformed the chest wrong, and I think what happened is when I got out of the package, it was transformed wrong because I transformed it back. And I didn't realize the chest actually slid up and under his neck, kind of.
Mm.
But other than that, you'll never know.
Well, except that you just told us.
Yeah, well, you know, I gotta.
And now you know.
And knowing is half the battle.
And knowing is half the battle.
Yep. Yay.
Okay, cool. Let's see here on the network. Hey, so remember you can find this episode at Hey, I'm trying to fix something. Multitasking, I shouldn't multitask. You can find this episode at tfradio.net/519 and view the show notes. Don't forget our voicemail line, which is 931-99-GOBOT. That's 931-994-6268. And you can send us a text there. We would appreciate that. Find us on Twitter at tfradio, at facebook.com/tfradio, and on Instagram at tfpodcast. I am personally on Twitter at bkilby, and on Instagram at Brian Kilby. Don, how do people find you?
You can find me on Twitter at HMRC, the number 4 EVR. And that's really about it.
Chris is at ChrisRTXV.
And I've got a ton of stuff on T-Formers TV on YouTube.
Yes. Matt, how do people get a hold of you?
If they really must, I'm at Twitter at Melvar. 3 L's, 2 R's.
They really should. They're missing out if they don't follow you.
Not really. All they miss is angry tweets. Angry retweets, actually.
I really enjoy following you. I do. Diecast.
I'm on Twitter at Diecast2, on YouTube at RFC Reviews, and on Facebook at Reviews by Diecast.
Sweet. John.
On Twitter, Twitch, and MyFitnessPal, I'm ThatJohnD.
And Rob.
I'm on Twitter at Figure Reviewers. I'm on Twitter and YouTube at FlailThroughs. And, of course, I have some reviews up on T-Formers TV as well.
Sweet. Okay, guys. Well, thank you for being here this week. People out there watching or listening, thank you for being with us. We appreciate it. We'll catch you next week. Have a good one.
Take care, everybody.
Bye.
This has been Radio Free Cybertron. Visit us at tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on Twitter at TF Radio for news and updates. Watch our live stream at tfradio.net/live. Join our Facebook fan page at facebook.com/tfradio. Subscribe to our YouTube channel, TF Radio Network. Have a question or comment? Leave it on our Facebook fan page or mail it to contact@tfradio.net. This podcast is released under a Creative Commons license. Any part of this podcast can and should be redistributed, but please, proper attribution is required. If you know what's good for you.
Transformers. It's better than crack.